Good morning, New Eden. And why is this the wrong thing? Dang it. Dang it.
I was going to say, I don't see our ugly mugs up there.
There we go. Now, okay. Good morning, New Eden. Today is February 25th, 2024, and this is the Federation Frontline Report. I am your host, Frozen Fallout. My co-host is Samson.
Good morning, New Eden. I'm running on fumes here, but I am still here today to talk to you about EVE Online, faction warfare, and killing in space, murder.
Yeah, so we've got some interesting changes and developments that are down the road, and some minor tweaks and like a quality of life kind of update that they brought on February 20th. So those are the two main talking points that we're going to have here today. But before we jump into that, how's things going in Samson Land?
I don't know. You've opened this new theme park that I've never actually been to, so I'm really confused about Samson Land. This happened last time on the show as well. Things are going good. Gwen hasn't been online in a while. Just recently did a Spectre fleet to get my toes wet again. Was talking shit with Max in Amazon Local. He's antsy. It looks like he wants to play with me some more. So I gotta get back out there. Start doing some more Spectre fleets. I got other stuff going on today, and I'm really tired. It's like, you wouldn't think that I would be, but I am. So
I feel you. I went out to a dark carnival last night, so we were up pretty late, and then I got up this morning to join the Abzan Gate Camp for a little while. And joined
it's up. Usually really chill though.
That was really chill. Well, kind of. Unless, I mean, EF was fucking with us the entire time, and that was that kept it interesting. He was having fun though. You know, he was throwing a bunch of thrashers at us, and then he'd bring the NATOs out, and then he'd bring thrashers out, and we caught one of his NATOs and tried booshing on top of him one time.
No phoenixes or nags.
No phoenix or nag yet. You know, not this time around. But yeah, it was a really good, fleet with Virion this morning after that. We got a bunch of little kills. There was hope for much better, you know.
We got Bill Leshak, dude. That's a really good kill.
We didn't get any good fleet fights. We just got a lot of good kills.
No, we didn't. Nobody wanted to fight Spectre Laser Party today. But, you know, we still had some... Still had some entertaining things happen.
So yeah, let's
like
go ahead.
Like a wild Praxis.
Oh yeah, there was the wild Praxis, and then a second wild Praxis that we caught. Well, it wasn't quite as wild. It was in a herd that we were able to boosh off. That was kind of nice.
Oh yeah, that's right. We did boosh a Praxis. Yeah, I almost forgot about that.
Yeah, and then you guys got a Navy Raven at the end.
Yeah, he jumped into us as we were going home. very sad for him.
Paid actors, man. That's what I hear.
Paid actors.
Yeah, so let's you haven't taken a look at the patch notes at all, so let's go ahead and dive into, I think the first thing we'll do is take a look at what changes came in February 20th. So I don't think we need to read word for word, but let's just kind of skim through here and see if there's any good craziness
LP
here.
Donations.
Yeah, so
feature changes.
This is good, so players can characters can donate to corporations and corporations can donate to corporations. So this is now possible again. The LP donation tax might be included in the future. So they're monitoring this LP market that's going on again. Now, the thing is that they didn't specify... Does that mean, so, like, LP trading is back on again? Or faction warfare is what I'm reading here, right? That makes...
I don't really know what you mean by LP trading.
So LP can be traded two. So there's certain corporations out there that you can trade LP to, and Evermarks and other things like that can be traded to them, and they'll give you ISK for your, just straight up ISK for your LP instead of having to.
Oh, like player run corporations.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, absolutely, right? If I can donate 10,000 LP and you want to give me 100 million ISK or whatever the exchange is, then yeah, I don't see why you couldn't do that now. Right.
Yeah.
However that works, it might not be directly in the mechanics. I don't know.
But yeah, so they turned it off for a while for most people, for most donation LP stores. And made it so that was like even an announcement that they made, you know, through a scope video and stuff like that. There was a whole thing about it. So it sounds like that's being turned back on, and they're going to be monitoring and possibly taxing this LP trading that's happening.
Ooh, I'm gonna sell all my LPs.
I'm actually going to hold out.
I have 2.5 million, I think.
I'm at 10 million right now. Broke the 10 million mark. I'm like, I'll keep it for a little longer and see what's what. But then there's the, but yeah, that'd be really easy to cash out my stuff then. Even for, if I could get like 8 billion ISK for my 10 million LP. Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
So it sounds like this is a big winter balance patch, basically. So Entropic Disruptors got hit with a pretty big
nerf
change here. Yeah.
Yeah,
base damage
nerfed.
Reduced 20 by 20%.
They were pretty fucking overpowered to be honest to begin with. So
yeah, their damage multiplier per cycle increased from 5 to 7%, so a little bit of a buff there. But
bottom line, if you're like, get disconnected or something, you might less likely to die now, right? Or something.
Basically the base damage is going down, but you're still going to get a lot of damage when it peaks out.
When it spools.
Because once it spools, the damage multiplier increases from 2.5 to 3.125. So I'm guessing that's taking into account the reduction of the 20%. And makes it spool up a little bit faster.
So it's sort of sort of a buff, I guess, then, but it's a little bit this.
I don't know what the numbers come out to here. This should make them weaker at killing tackle ships, since the initial damage when targeting swap is lower.
Yeah.
This will also help other alternative options fill the same roles, stand out more, like the case of an Osprey Navy issue versus the Vedmak, with the Omen Navy issue now offering much higher initial DPS. Okay, so let's see here. There's some Triglavian AT ship. That doesn't really matter.
Oh, this is... I'm sorry. I don't know why, Frozen, but my brain was thinking about... This entire time you're reading that, was thinking about the gate guns. It didn't even... For some reason, I haven't flown a trig ship in so long. This is, you know, the player guns. Duh.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's when I would have when at this point. Yeah, I've been out for too long.
No problem. So we've got the Triglavian AT ships. Looks like there's some minor changes that they made on those to, you know, compensate this thing. Reaching a maximum ramp of 20 cycles instead of 30 cycles. Increase per cycle is 0.75% per level. Okay, so let's see here. So rapid light missile launchers are getting a little bit of a tweak here.
The Caracal has become a heavy and heavy assault missile bonus only.
Okay, so it's lost the rapid light missile launcher. So because it used to be a
same for the Osprey Navy. Oh, that's this is huge. This is huge because these especially the Osprey Navy is a kitey bastard and usually running rapid lights. So now maybe you can outrun missiles in a tackle. I don't know.
So I think there are some bonuses that the Caracal still is going to apply to light missiles.
Yeah.
But just, yeah, they lose the missile velocity bonus, which means that they're not going to be able to reach out as far for both the Caracal and the Osprey.
Yeah.
And the Onyx.
So that might make them less viable as, freight killing ships, maybe.
So this is another one that they reduced the speed of Marauders for warp. But that's it.
They're slower.
So, yes, there's a lot of arguing about whether these ships are in a good spot or not. And I don't know. I find them interesting because you want to always have something that can help with dealing with N plus one. Where it's just all I need is one or two more people than you and I can beat you. But this does sometimes can make it like one guy fights 30 people, and if the 30 people don't have the right kind of E-War, they're fucked. But if you have the right kind of E-War, you can just slowly mow down a guy. So in solo it's not so bad, but when there's like a fleet of 50 of them and 100 of them or 300 of them is when things get a little bit oppressive with them. So I don't know, there's a lot of talk out there about there needs to be some better nerfs possibly to the Marauders, but the one thing is that they did already take a huge nerf in that they are E-War affected now when they're in Bastion mode. Before they were immune to E-War basically when they were in Bastion mode. And so that being, you know, a thing, it's, I guess, but people are kind of upset about like them and on a on a solo level I've been hearing is more of like, okay, that kind of makes sense. It's a pretty badass ship that can go after stuff. Yeah, so this is just actually not really any kind of... It just slows down the fleets a little bit if there's lots of them. Makes it a little bit slower. Black Ops ships, they changed the speed roll bonus increased from 6.5 to 7.5 to match the current stated trait roll bonus of 650%. So a lot of people thought that they were just going to change the text so that it would match 6.5%, and instead they changed it to 7.5% to match the what it was is actually stated in the game. So that's a little bit of a boost there that can make them a little bit faster. Not a big issue one way or the other, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're pretty fast cloaked as it is.
Fleet command ships added roll bonus to command burst range to the field command subgroup of the command ship. So basically command ships get an added roll bonus here. Yeah, watch it. Yeah.
Kitty's trying to do something bad.
Yeah.
And then they go through the different command ships. The Astarte has a armor repair bonus increased from 7.5% to 10% per level of Gal battlecruiser skill.
Ooh, that's the a Nighthawk, nice boost.
That's a big tank boost. The Nighthawk has a rate of fire bonus for heavy and heavy assault missiles, reduced from 10% to 7.5%. So that's actually a nerf. Kinetic damage as well for heavy and assault missiles are increased, though. So there's the rate of fire. So they fire slower, but they do more damage, it looks like. And the Exec Navy, medium hybrid damage bonus reduced from 25% to 20% per level. So that hurts. A 5% drop in the bonus per for damages for damage on a an exec navy. I wonder if that's gonna make them less popular.
Yeah, that is a huge hit there, and we'll definitely. I noticed that today when I was messing around with it, because my damage does feel pretty
low.
Significantly changed. Like it's become a problem.
Yeah, it's bellicose. Fire tail.
We'll see how that kind of goes. Bellicose, what did they have? Just some speed changes, so they're a little bit faster. They got a little bit.
Yeah, they have more power.
That's good. Fire tail, this is a good one. 5% bonus to small projectile fall off per level. This allows you to go a little bit more kitey with them, with scram kite, and you can do, you know, hail. For close range, and then you can do barrage for your kiting, and
it'd be like a mini stabber.
Yeah, it's a pretty decent increase to them. I've been playing around with them since then, and I was able to definitely do really good against the rail comet. Was not liking me at all, and
yeah, so we'll see. We also have insurgency changes. The closest FOB or Zarzek will now appear in the loyalty points section of the wallet when looking at Malakim Zealots or Commando Guri LP. So this is for pirates factions, right? This is an interesting one. Modules are now possible to pre-overheat while you're still cloaked from a jumping through a gate.
That one's huge. That is super huge. I'm really excited about that. That's going to be a good boost to the ability to get back to gate and stuff like that. Like, it hurts gate camps to a small degree, which I don't like, but I also like being able to get through gate camps and get back to gate, you know, very quickly. You can overheat, you know, jumping in is no longer into like a big fight is going to be less of a detriment, because one of the big things was is that you couldn't, you know, overheat any of your shit, you know. You have to do all that while everybody else is set up. So this kind of helps you a little bit with being able to set up.
I think your kitty wants out.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, that makes it a little bit better, like when you're jumping through, to be able to like hold your cloak, preheat your modules. That way you don't have to do it when you decloak, and that saves you, you know, half a second or whatever, which can mean life or death in fleet fights, especially the smaller ones. Let's see. Just looks like some fixes and stuff, nothing too.
Chip autopilot now uses Ansible gates, which is interesting. That makes it really easy if you're in 0.0 to like know how to get around your space.
Yeah, and quickly. I guess if your space is very secure, then you don't have to worry about doing autopilot, I guess.
Well, no, that's like... autopilot is that's just setting a course. That's not hitting the autopilot button. Because before it would just take you through the gate network, and it wouldn't take into account the answer.
That's gates very that's misleading sounding to me. That shouldn't say anything about autopilot then.
Oh, we'll jump through. No, never mind.
Yeah, you're no, right. This is autopilot. You're right. This is literally autopilot. Right. Like, so like, I don't know who's fucking autopiloting in 0.0, but please do, sure. please do for our Spectre fleets. Like, now we know that you can autopilot into an Ansiblex, so that's good. How much stuff do you want to go through?
Just so, anything that we see that's, you know.
Okay, let's just scram through.
I just kind of do a few UI changes here real quick. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
There's oh yeah, minor, that's...
you know, localization and.
Oh, I thought this whole page was the whole, but it, no, that it ends right here.
Yeah. So just a minor pass on some stuff, some balancing things here and there.
I thought we had like 5 more pages to go through, so that's why I said that.
All right, so the other thing that we wanted to talk about is the faction warfare into the next decade. So this is
a PowerPoint presentation.
Yes, yep.
So shall I go through this as if I were presenting this as a PowerPoint presentation?
Well, I think that in order to do that, you'd have had to, you know, research it beforehand.
No, I could just read it.
Okay, well, yeah, no, that's... all right, do it. Give me the presentation here. Well, we'll also talk about every slide.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to go through it. I'm just kind of joking. But yeah, because if this were a real one, then I would have to throw some vacation slides in there or something.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We don't have... Faction warfare slides. Into the next decade. I guess Mark Resurrectus wrote this. Let's see. Thank you. Uprising has been one of the most successful expansions over the past multiple years. It has led to increase in player count and game. More people are returning or playing EVE Online, and LoSEC is a content hotbed once again. I think we can both agree on that. Like, LoSEC is pretty active.
Yeah, no,
it has led to
healthy for sure for activity.
The birth and creation of many new alliances, revitalization of older groups, and allowed players to create new stories. And I will say this, remember when we first started this podcast and there were like 3 Galente alliances?
Oh yeah, no, there was like 2 like, or
that
3
was that was that wasn't that far that wasn't that long ago, and there was like none, and now there's like a ton. A big thank you is required for the FW development team and their hard work over the past 2 years. The collaboration amongst players, faction warfare groups, focus groups, CSM. Hey, that's us. Faction warfare focus groups. CSM and CCP devs has been professional. I think they're talking about internally their people. But big shout out to faction warfare development team, community team for working with them and creating a better LoSEC for all. Let's get down to business. Structure of talk. That's very professional, by the way. That's what I do in all my PowerPoint presentations. We'd like to see the same iteration we saw start with Uprising continue. So there's some things we'd like to see addressed that haven't been yet. Focusing on improvement on the Empire faction warfare. Improvement for Empire faction warfare. Focusing on important pirate faction warfare, Havoc expansion into Empire faction warfare. Iteration for pirate faction warfare. That's right, because they just released it, so they gotta do more stuff to it, right?
Oh yeah, there's yeah.
How does it currently work? Let's see. We have Empire faction warfare iteration problem in infrastructure hub. When the system reaches 100% contested, the iHub becomes vulnerable. Only members of the opposing militia may shoot it. Defenders must run complexes and bring the contest level below 100 to make the iHub invulnerable. Why is it a problem? Defenders needing to plex instead of shooting the iHub splits up the fight and reduces the chance of big brawls. Thematically, the iHub bash is the culmination of a day, weeks, or months fighting, but is just a boring structure bash. Defenders gain nothing but a little bit of time from defending the iHub itself, and instead plex while ignoring the iHub fleet. The LP payout is very small as well, no financial reward. Possible solution, make iHub fights a larger battlefield ice heist size site that you fight over. It gives a large bonus in contested percentage and possibly advantage if the defenders win. The site should probably be open, unrestricted to allow for the use of caps and so on. Ooh.
So that would be, that's kind of interesting. I think that that's, I do agree that the iHub fight is kind of stupid in the end.
It is dumb. It's boring. You're just bashing it. It doesn't even do anything. Like, it doesn't even shoot you like gate guns or anything. It's just there.
I would think that spawning like a battlefield to fight over would be awesome. You know, or some kind of special site that needs to be
like a
completed.
Front final battle or front line,
right? And then the winner would get like this huge boost to either, you know, if you're defending the system, then it would bring it down to like 60% or 50% or something like that, because you won that huge battle, you're holding the front line there, and it should give out a good like battlefield.
Yeah, because as it stands now, if you defend it successfully, I guess it just goes back down to whatever percentage
that you've been defended, flexing.
Right? So like, yeah, so like that's yeah, that's like nothing. That's hard. That takes a lot longer. Like you get down 98% or whatever, then they can't shoot it anymore. But it's at 98%.
Yeah. So this, but I think this is a good suggestion.
Yeah, I think so too. An example of a final climate event: first Garista's FOB destroyed. So, hey, we were there. We were at this. We shot this thing. Remember?
I wasn't there.
Oh, but I was there.
You were there. Yes. I unfortunately couldn't make it. But yes, this was the first Garista's FOB. You know, you were talking about how this was a fun event.
It was a massive fight. I mean, look at it. There's 46 on one side and 107 on the other side. So, and I remember there being like 150 people in fleet, for this with Sedition, I believe. And, because I think Sedition was running. Yeah. You can even see him at the top here. It says 42. And then there were some like third parties, lots of pirates and random stuff going on. But yeah, there's the network. But yeah, high stakes for both sides with added incentive of the first Garista's FOB timer led to an hour fight after leading up to it for over a week. Both militias formed proper fleets and allowed players across all sides to contest. Incentives plus opportunity for defenders to win the FOB, the FOB, equal higher probability for content generation from both sides. And so that's true. Like this proved it. Like that fight at the FOB was like, that was cool.
Yeah, much better than shooting an iHub. And it's not that much of a difference, except for flexing is not involved in saving the FOB. You know, it's just like any other timer. So
yeah, it's like you know, it's like a defense timer on a structure. So Empire Faction Warfare iteration problem: rear guards. How do they work now? Rear guards are empty space that is a buffer in order to focus on the front lines. Rear guard system should be desirable for sides to own, but not entice people away from front lines. Why is it a problem? There is a little drive to gain more territory, which is ostensibly the goal of faction warfare. For example, large alliances will just live in perma front lines, as there is no value to push these systems further, which leads to stagnation. For example, Caldaria owns 75 systems compared to the Galente 15 with fighting only focusing on two to three systems. Possible solutions are bonuses that scale based on the number of rear guards in some way. Care must be taken to ensure that rear guards don't become a way of pulling people away from the front lines, as the concentration of front lines is the entire point. A percent into militia stations, that's not a bad idea. Increase offices and rear guard systems. Non-combat based bonuses like increased resources, spawns, or reduced industrial costs allow for the option for passive moons only in rear guard faction warfare space.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I feel about the passive moon mining type kind of stuff, but in general, I think that there needs to be something about building up and developing rear guard systems would be kind of healthy for the economy of LoSAC. And maybe it's something that like affects everybody, not just, you know, the Galente, but it can be good for like neutral people who want to assist and bump up these systems and stuff like that to a certain degree. The problem is that you have to balance the pros and of making one side seem more like you want to join them because they have all the best upgrades because they own all the space type kind of stuff.
Yeah, which would make the current problem worse.
Right. it would probably like push one side all, you know, like even though we don't have very many systems, we don't care because that's not the game that is in action right now. So we can just focus on frontline systems and have fun doing that. So there needs to be some kind of balance here, and I'd be, you know, hard-pressed to say that there should... I don't know about, like, the more that you own, but I like the idea that rearguard systems can be upgraded, you know, maybe more wormholes, more anomalies, more pirates or NPCs and stuff like that you can take down just like 0.0 has. But yeah, we'll see. That's an interesting concept. But yeah, there is a problem right now that it doesn't matter at all what is owned by who, besides docking rights, which actually does matter, to be honest. So,
but not as much, because we can all dock on the front lines. So if we all move our ships to the front lines, we're all relatively staged right there, you know.
And I do like the idea of focusing everybody who's in faction warfare into the frontline systems. I kind of like that there is only 2 to 3 systems that really fucking matter in faction warfare, because then I know that that's where I can go to find some action.
Yeah, true. But maybe opening up something that would cause not so much to pull people away, but to make it more interesting or worthwhile, you know, to have a rear guard system, I guess, or something.
Yeah, I think some kind of upgrading of rear guard systems would be kind of cool.
So, importing pirate faction warfare into Empire faction warfare problem. Loyalty point stores. How does it work now? Currently, tags are required for most items on the LP store. Problem: it is extremely difficult to source tags, and there is presently limited methods to gain tags within the modern post-uprising faction warfare. Many items require tags, and buying tags to get the items make it a negative profit. Therefore, most LP stores' items are focused on a minimal set of items that does not generate a large enough LP sink to stabilize the LP store pricing solutions. Remove tags and increase the LP ISK and LP cost as appropriate. General iteration on what's in the LP store, i.e. Shadow War drugs on LP stores. Increase the stats of Navy items to compensate for increased costs. Reinstate LP transfers to allow a group to trade their LP across militias, and that I think we don't have that, but we have the donation, which to me wouldn't be trading it. Well, I guess you could.
That's I think that, that is been reinstated now.
So okay,
that's what I believe that last patch was.
So like that. I can trade my 2 million LP. If someone's willing to trade for my 2 million Galmil for 2 million Amar or something, if I wanted to.
That, and you can trade it for...
just direct ISK.
For ISK as well. Like, you can send it, donate it to them, and then they, give you ISK for it. So there can be, a scam that can happen with that, because it's not really insured or anything.
You're just, yeah.
Send it to them with the hope that they'll pay you out. But there's like channels for it and stuff like that. But I do think that a revamp of the LP store is sorely needed.
Yeah, 90% of the shit in there I don't even look at.
Yeah, and so that needs to be changed up. I think tags are a problem with that. Changing it to just being an ISK cost might be better. And then we can... I think that there needs to be some enhancements. Shadow War drugs and stuff like that would be, drugs and other cool things that we could buy on the LP store would be really awesome, and create more trade opportunities and stuff like that, and make it simpler for people to understand how to actually do what to do with their LP.
It is a little complicated if someone wants to, for example, make money directly instead of pouring it back in like we do to make more ships.
Right.
But, yeah.
All right, so let's see here. What's the next thing?
Importing pirate faction warfare into Empire faction warfare problem. Better non-plex sites. How do they work? Advantage sites, other than battlefields, are visually and mechanically uninteresting, with just waves of NPCs or single structure to kill. Battlefields are cheesable and encourage camping the enemy beacon instead of running and fight. Who wrote this? What is this from? This is from CCP?
This is not from CCP. No, this is from the community, written by...
Oh, this is a community. Yeah, okay. So this is like a culmination of community stuff. I was just going to say, I don't think CCP would say this about the battlefields. Because they said it was WAD, working as designed.
Yes.
Problem mining ops and ice heists are visually and mechanically more interesting than advantage sites and / battlefields. Battlefields can be cheesed by exploiting orbit distances, meaning the running efficiently involves killing NPCs from your own side and then not killing specific enemy NPCs. All but three people in the BF are thus free to camp. The enemy beacon allows for seagulling players to bring in 20 people at the end of the battlefield to steal all the LP gain. And this is all true stuff that's really annoying. And I think battlefields are boring as shit most of the time, unless someone actually brings a fight. Solutions.
The fights are pretty good.
Yeah, when the fights come, they're good because they're just big fights. But the lot, if there's not a fight, then it is almost worse than plexing.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it's not. In fact, it is worse than plexing because you don't have as for those of us that have lives, you don't have an actual timer that's just ticking down. You don't know exactly when it's. You can give an idea, you know. You kind of can have an idea or predict when it's going to be done. But if you really want to dedicate yourself to it, it's a range of time that's involved. Solutions: add more NPCs to the battlefields to more resemble ice heists, i.e. capital NPCs that will track and kill players requiring log and proper fleet comp swin. Logi, I think, is what that's supposed to say, not log. A removal of the defender's LP penalty, as depending on the system contesting, it impacts the LP gain for the defenders. Creating ice heists or escort missions for supply. I fucking hate escort missions. For supply depots and rework advantage to be more interesting sites than just killing rat waves. Although escort missions could be interesting if other, like with other players, the opposing faction being involved. That could be interesting. Especially if like the other faction can just kill what you're escorting, you know, not just against other NPCs.
Well, you could kind of also design it like so. I think that's a really big one. Like changing up battlefields is really needed. One of the things is that they need to get rid of. I think they need to get rid of offense and defensive plexing altogether. Doesn't need to be offensive defensive plexing. There needs.
It should have both rats in each.
Yeah, it should just be plexing. And they should definitely get rid of it for battlefields because battlefields. There is no difference, right? You don't have to make any fucking changes other than making it so that they pay out the full amount for a defensive one, just like you would for an offensive one. And that's one that's really kind of stupid. Like, if a battlefield spawns in a system that has like no contested amount to it, there is no payout of LP.
Yeah, so there's no point in going to it.
Like, yeah, so there's no reason to, other than that they'll get some percentage, which is a good chunk of percentage that they get for winning a battlefield. I think that should maybe even be increased a little bit more.
Yeah.
And seagulling is something that I think some of the problems with seagulling is kind of just the nature of open we can't moderate that inside of our own
I mean maybe they could system, what they like could do is something could. What something they could do is like the time spent in the battlefield is directly related to how much your payout is.
That's a good
so
one.
If 20 people come in at the last minute, they all get one LP, right? Because they weren't doing anything. But if you've been there for 5 minutes, you get, you know, 10k or whatever it is, you know what I mean? Like, if you've been there for the whole thing, you get the full 25k payout or whatever the numbers are, you know what I mean? I think that kind of would make sense. But there still should be, and maybe I mean, it's getting a little too complex now, but if they changed it so that there were more like goals or things to fight or stuff like that, then it could be related to that as well, right? Like,
helping you to had accomplish a goal, like shooting.
Yeah, if you had to take out a certain thing and you were there, you're on the kill of whatever general you had to NPC you had to kill, then you get the LP for killing that. You know, like if, as it stands right now, for example, like if you're capping one of the points, you get an extra, you know, 0.05% or whatever for every time you're in the circle capping it or something. You know what I mean? Like, it would obviously take a lot of balancing and a lot of math, but like, you could make that work, and then seagulling would be a thing of the past because they would have to actually be there and do stuff.
And that's not what they're trying. You know, they're trying to get a quick buck, basically.
Yeah. And then, so like coming in at the end wouldn't do anything for them. Sitting inside and not doing anything wouldn't do anything for them either. Yeah, so it would stop.
I really think that the big thing, yeah, if we can get rid of, like, I like that idea of how much time that you've been spent, or, you know, how much you've helped with the objective can be proportionate to your payout.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be like, I think so. Like, if you come in at like the last minute, it's like greatly reduced. Like, there's no point.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just coming in.
But yeah, and then there's, yeah, I really think that the big one too, as well with seagulling, because seagulling is kind of a problem, but it's not actually as huge of a problem.
No.
As, you know, some people make it out to be. I definitely see it. In Battlefields, you do see that last minute, like, 5 guys, like, 10 guys show up, but it could be worse. You know, I'm surprised that it isn't worse.
Yeah.
They come in with like 30. You know,
but also too, in a current stance, like if you have, what's the max? Is it 30 or
30?
Like, still, yeah.
Yeah, 30.
So if you're running the site with, you know, 15 people and 10 guys come in, it doesn't affect your LP at all. But then they get LP for not doing anything.
Yeah. Usually you're a little bit over. You know, usually about 30 people are running the thing, and then like 10, he says 20,
yeah.
But like, I would say that more or less it's like 5 to 10 seagulls is what I see normally come in and try and steal off some LP. Yeah.
But also too, if the NPCs were, you know, more active or more dangerous, then they wouldn't be able to just, you know, come in and steal the LP.
Right. But, All right, let's see here. What's the next thing?
Plex rats. So how do they work now? There's a single NPC inside each Plex owned by the defender, which does not tackle. Problem, defensive Plexing does not require a DPS check, not even the slightest risk for offensive Plexes from the NPC, and very fast to clear. Bots and players just warp out of Plexes after entering without engaging in any form of PvP. And this is something that's been a problem for a long time, and that's why, especially with bots, you have to get smarter than them to catch them, but then it's a whole separate game, and it's not nearly as engaging or as fun as actually having a fight. So solutions, or possible solutions: place the tackle rats and multiple rats into all plexes, forcing players to bring in fitted ships to both D-plex and offensive plex. It creates a sense of risk of going into the plex. If the difficulty in plex increases, an added reward bonus may be necessary to correspond to the risk profile, so they maybe make them worth more if they're more dangerous. But I think we talked about this. I think you specifically said that, Frozen, that you would like to see rats that, like, tackle.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, like I said, along with getting rid of offense and defense, and you just have one type of plex that basically you've got to kill a rat, there is always a DPS check. I like that the DPS check is not insane, and that the tank check is extremely low, and that needs to stay. But it would be nice if they maybe, I would say, reduce a little bit of the DPS check, and then add scram, but disruptor, so that they do point you.
And then, like, you can make it so, like, if you know how there's currently that ring, that like 30 kilometer ring inside of a plex,
right?
Like, once you get outside of that, you're out of tackle. It could be like a tackle bubble, actually. It could just be like a bubble.
I don't like the bubble idea, because that's a permanent thing that makes it so that you're just stuck there when bait comes in, you know, and stuff like that. There's a lot of, like,
I guess that's true.
I like the idea that if you kill the rat, and then during the time that the rat's not around, you're able to warp off. But as soon as,
I guess what I'm saying is, like, if you, I don't know, I guess it's fine. But if you're in a fleet, then it doesn't really matter, right? Because it's only tackling one of your guys. You know, like, but you're less likely to run because you're going to want to fight at that point. I guess if you're in a fleet, you're actually looking for a fight. So I guess really what we're trying to solve is mostly these unfitted ships that just sit in there and plex. And they wouldn't be able to, because there'd be a DPS check on defensive as well, and they wouldn't be able to just auto descan and run away when you show up. So yeah, I guess that makes sense. I guess maybe, I don't know, I was thinking that they probably wouldn't. I mean, they're going to be tackling you with, it's not going to be like an infinite point, right? It's going to be within whatever a standard range.
Yeah, usually it's like 24 or something like that.
Yeah.
That the rats can reach out to, so.
Let's see. But yeah. So I think
that kind of that goes into what we were talking about before. Yeah. So let's see what's
here. Incentives problem. There is a mismatch of incentives between pirates and Empire faction warfare. Pirates have no incentive other than getting corruption 3 and 5. Furthermore, no incentives to win or lose the insurgency. Empires have virtually no incentives for suppression and arguably don't want to get suppression 5 in low sec. They like bubbles too. There's little interaction between pirates and Empire forces in the Navy faction warfare. Only present incentive is negative, which is the other opposing Empire militia wants the opposing insurgency site to flip to their own. Empires presently get no special reward for engaging in pirate faction warfare. No sex status bounties on Angels or Grista's NPCs. Solutions. Create new incentives to engage in both cooperation and suppression. Increase sex status when killing NPC rats and pirate players. I don't know if I like that. I want to increase my stat. I already have to avoid killing rats to stop keeping my fucking stats going above negative 10.
But that is a rare thing. A lot of people would like a quick way of just, I'm going to go do this activity and it keeps my sex status below negative 5 so I don't have to deal with the...
yeah, the I guess. I mean, it's pretty easy to get back to negative 10.
And this increased wouldn't be status. For what would happen for you in Empire. So if you didn't do the pirate faction flex.
Yeah, no, it would have to be the pirate faction.
It would just be the pirate faction that would give you...
Yeah, because it really is kind of like policing. Right. Allow pirates to win the Navy faction warfare battlefield and to increase engagement in the war zone, i.e. pirates win, get LP, and the system goes corrupt for X amount of time. So allowing pirates to win... our battlefield, that's an interesting one. Like the Gal Cal with the Garistas could come in and
that would be interesting. I would like to see kind of battlefields coming to the pirate faction and influencing pirate faction type kind of stuff. This is like an interesting one because yeah, it's hard to give good incentives for the Galente to go do these. Like, the reason why we never got involved and why we never had one isn't because we couldn't, it's because we had no reason to. This one did land in our doorstep, and you know, it kind of just was like an easy
the FOB
place for us to go do, and it would the Galente were like, okay, well, if it's going to be right on our doorstep, then yeah, we'll go do it. And we were able to win, but there's not a huge amount. It's not as profitable, really. I do like doing the mining sites. Like, saving the Roycule is kind of cool. Because it's the same thing for both sides. Basically, you just go in and shoot all of the rats besides the frigates. And after a certain amount of wave of rats have been killed, then you win or lose. You win if your side kills more rats than the other side, basically. So it allows for a little bit of... You don't need to be super focused on the PvE aspect. You can do PvP with it. But there is... It's quick, it's easy. You can kind of just jump around. Hey, how's it going, BK? There is some interesting things that you can do in Pirate Faction Warfare, but it's not as profitable, really. It's more profitable to do faction warfare for the Galente, and you don't have to deal with, you know, 0.0 rules, and there is some incentive of, like, if you've got structures in high sec and you don't want this, you know, system to get flipped, that encourages probably people to join with enlistment and stuff like that. But it's a temporary interest. And I haven't seen that being a big factor, to be honest. Like, I haven't seen a lot of people being like, okay, it's near my space. I need to make sure that we have all of our corporations that have, structures in this high sect system that's going to be under threat. Can we get everybody into faction warfare now? But all right, what's the next page here?
Incentives, suppression, and bonuses. How do they work now? Suppression... 3 slows down corruption gained in the system. Suppression 5 prevents corruption. 5. if it's achieved first, and adds super sentry guns. However, Corruption 5 makes high sec like low sec and low sec like null sec. Problem: they are largely uninspiring and in some cases actively harmful to those who are supposed to be pursuing them. Suppression 3 is a snowballing effect that either means pirates generally give up on a system or it's absolutely useless as they're too far ahead for it to matter. Empire militia members are privateers and sentry guns. Empire militia members or privateers and sentry guns hurt them as much as they hurt pirates. People want more opportunities for PvP instances, not less. Solutions: both suppression and corruption need earlier gains that feel meaningful and grow with the levels, i.e. the bounty, LP, drop, percentage rewards. I mean, I don't have much experience with this stuff because we didn't do it, like you were just saying. We didn't go and mess with any of this stuff, really, apart from fighting that forward operating base. So
I kind of get the.
I understand what they're saying.
Though is that it just there's a lot of disincentive to fight on the gates because all of these sentry guns are up for either the pirates or for the pirates get like pirate fleets that can come in and help you. And then you get like sentry guns and stuff like that that are, so it just disincentivizes people to fight on the gate because there's all this additional NPC firepower that's being added into the mix. I don't know. I think that there does need to be they need to relook at suppression and corruption and see what, you know, what kind of bonuses and stuff could be. They need to play around with it, I think.
Yeah, I could see that.
New Darkham, thank you so much for the follow.
And that's pretty much it. So, in conclusion, there's still room for growth in faction warfare and even more people to get involved and active in it. We're hopeful that additional work on these areas will, we've highlighted in specific changes we suggested, will bring that engagement. So, I agree with most of the stuff we read here today and do feel that there's still, you know, room for improvement. Granted, the change from what it was before these huge changes made a huge difference, and it was really good and really engaging for faction warfare, bringing it back. But now that this stuff's been going on for a while, you can really see all the pain points, and can start really looking at ways to fix them, or suggested ways.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that CCP continues. I know that they're going to be focusing a lot on 0.0 over the next year, but I'm really hoping that they continue to iterate upon faction warfare and the pirate insurgencies. They don't need like massive changes. I feel like little tweaks here and there can make massive change. There's little things that can be done to really improve faction warfare. But I feel like it's in a much better spot, and the inclusion of the insurgencies was an overall boon to
absolutely
to the game for sure.
We wouldn't have had that huge fight, the FOB.
Yeah. So one other thing too is that the Federation Frontline is back in faction warfare with the and being run by the Federation Frontline report here. So we are back in action now, and we did get some really good little kills just recently. The Leshak, the Raven Navy issue. I think a Stratios, I think that was caught in a gate camp at Amazon.
Yeah, so yeah, we did a Spectre fleet earlier today. We caught the Leshak and Raven Navy, yeah, and the Deimos and the two Praxi.
Yes.
We caught in Virion's laser party.
Good old Boosh.
If you haven't tried Spectre fleet, you should. Yeah, a lot of craziness going on, wild random Praxi coming through gates and stuff, but yeah, so this also means that I don't think you really said this, but we've left the network.
We have left the network, and we are going to be refocusing all of our efforts on kind of building up the Federation Frontline Alliance. We've got one of the coolest logos in the game, I think. So I really love our little logo that we have here. And I'm excited to rebuild the Federation frontline. So we are recruiting. We're going with a pretty laxed kind of, we just want, you know, people to come out, learn about faction warfare. I'm going to be making a training video. Are there any training for faction warfare for new players or new to,
that's what we're going to work on.
That's definitely something. I was talking with one of my buddies who has like a group of people that try out different MMORPGs, and he was saying he wants to come over to, try out Eve with his group for a little while. And I was like, yeah, we'll do that. And he's like, if you can make me a training video, that would be really cool. And I was like, okay, I think I can work on that. So next, you know, month or so, I hopefully will be able to, pump out a little bit of a training video there, but we can definitely help you out. New players can make a lot of money and learn a lot about PvP and be part, jump right into a community in faction warfare. And I definitely highly suggest, you know, it all kind of depends on what do you want to do when you play Eve. If you're looking to jump into PvP and you want to make money while doing PvP, and join a pretty laid-back kind of community, I would say faction warfare is a great place for you to hang out. You can also join big blocks and stuff like that and do enlistment and come down and join faction warfare. There's lots of options that you can kind of have, but in general, I would say that there's a lot of fun that, and a lot of usefulness that you can have as new players in faction warfare. That a frigate, adding a tackle frigate, adding another kind of quick, agile kind of ship that can go out hunting and stuff like that. It takes definitely time and effort to learn these things, but as a new player, you can jump right into the ocean and learn about how to become a tackle frigate, like right off the bat. And you can become an E-War frigate, or you can get into like a high DPS battle cruiser, cruiser pretty quickly, actually.
Really quick, BK. I just want to read this. They said they used to build ships, cap ships, 12 years ago. They left Eve for 7 years and just returned doing missions on a new account. Looked at faction warfare, but had no guides on it or knew what they can or cannot do, etc. So one of the great things is listen to this podcast. There are lots of, we talk about faction warfare a lot, and we have a lot of episodes up on YouTube, Federation Frontline Report. But also too, like Frozen said, if you join up with us, we're really good about not just answering your questions, but if you go out on a fleet and we do faction warfare, you'll learn all about it pretty fast. Like one fleet, you'll pretty much know all there is you need to know. We'll set you up with ships so that you can continue your. We'll give you homework. You know, you get like 10 Fed Navy comments to go get blown up, and you'll figure out. Like you get the most, you learn the most by doing in faction warfare, I would say. But like Frozen said. When we get that training video out, that'll probably be something. Actually, that's a really, it seems to be something that's missing, so we should fill that void then.
Yeah, for sure. And the thing about faction warfare is that you can do a lot of the activities in faction warfare as a brand new player, which is kind of awesome. Like, you can get into the battlefield, you can get into the plexes, the large plexes, the open plexes. You might not be able to do them solo, especially the battlefield and stuff like that, but you can definitely interact with and participate and fulfill a role as like a new player in all of these
And also too,
inside of a fleet. And I highly suggest, one of the big things is that you can do a lot of solo activity, which is fun, but I highly suggest getting involved in fleet and joining up with the local standing fleets that usually are out and about having fun.
Yeah. And if you join like Galente Militia, they have their own Discord, and there's a lot of stuff going on there, and you can ask all the questions you want to, and almost everybody's very helpful with that. And in game too, like if you run into either of us in game and I have a faction warfare question, we're glad to answer it.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're on the opposite side, though, we might shoot you first.
Oh yeah, that too. But yeah, so I think that we are just about over time here, so it was a good little breakdown of different things here. We also have, just before we go though, I wanted to bring up that, of course, we have the Madison meetup that is happening. Madtown meetup in Madison, Wisconsin. We will be at the IO Arcade Bar. It is a local arcade bar that's got a lot of old school, Tyson's Punch Out and all the other, Mortal Kombat and.
They have a really good selection of retro arcade games and a really good selection of pinball and a vegetarian, vegan friendly menu. You can get a really good vegan pizza for, old people like me who are like 120% lactose intolerant. Is really nice. And it's good. Like, the food there is good. The drinks are good. And everybody's just so super nice out there. Not just at IO, but I feel like just in Madison in general. I mean, that's me. I'm a Californian saying this because I've only been there once, but I'm coming back. And also, too, you can't see it now. Wait, if I put it over, over here, maybe. No, this side.
Oh, here, yeah,
we
do this.
We have these pins. Oh, here we go. I'll try to put it in the middle. I can never make this thing focus. But they are the logo, and they are very shiny. I can at least get. I think about here, you can kind of see how shiny they are. The AK is all silvery, and there's blood on the talons, and everything. But so. We got those to give out to anybody attending Madtown Meetup, your own Federation Frontline report pin. And and those will be available.
Yeah, and we'll be there 5 p.m. on Saturday till midnight, and possibly go later. We might do some stuff beforehand and after. But we do have a Discord that we're getting. We're trying to see who's all interested in coming, kind of getting a head count going now, so we're all prepared. So I just posted that in chat, but I'll also have that in the show notes.
So. Yeah, links. It'll be linked in, like if you're watching this on YouTube, it'll be linked on YouTube. And if you're listening to it, it'll be in the show notes. If you're on your favorite podcast app.
Oh yeah. So I'm gonna go ahead and wrap it on up here. Is there anything else that we wanted to talk about that I forgot though before we jump off here? I think we're good though, right? Yeah?
No, I think we're good.
Yeah, good. We're good. Whatever. I don't know what's going on anymore. I am so tired too. Alright, we're gonna go ahead and wrap things on up. Thank you all for watching though, and thank you all for who are just listening, and have a great night, New Eden. Get your pin on.
Good night, New Eden.